Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we finally get to Stephen Routledge's new music picks for September.
I'm so glad we're finally getting to this because I'm sure everyone knows how we feel about Stephen's contributions.
We care a lot!
So, Patrick, Rocktober,
yeah,
almost over, right?
Man, I can't believe it's just flown by, Jim. I kind of miss some of the rock because of the, you know, this baseball thing that's been happening around where we live, where the Washington Nationals really put on a tear to get to the World Series.
They got to the World Series, yeah, and we don't know as we're recording this what's going to happen.
We don't know.
Mm-mm. As you're hearing this, you might know. Maybe. It could.
It's
maybe.
Possible. You could know.
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
If one team dominated the other,
yes.
You might know.
Yes. Yeah. But Rocktober just about over, and we're just going to make it in under the wire. We're going to play here on today's episode. This is Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
On today's episode, we're going to hear from a monthly caller, regular caller, Stephen Routledge from Scotland.
He's the man.
And once a month, he calls in and he tells us about what he has been listening to lately.
Mm-hmm.
So we usually like to get those in earlier in the month, but you know, a lot of other things we had going on. And so sorry about that, Stephen, but we'll get you in right now, right before the end of October.
Yeah.
And the listeners can hear about what you discovered in September.
I think they've come to look forward to it, as I have, and you as well. It's really become a great staple so for us. And just want to say again, thanks, Stephen, for putting that thought into it and send it to us.
Yep. And when you get a chance, let us know how your cricket team is doing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. All right. Here's Stephen Routledge, new music from September.
Hi, Jim and Patrick, faithful interns and Rocking the Suburb listeners. Greetings again from Scotland. I'm still chuckling a few weeks later after Jim's attempt at a British accent during the pre-credit section of my last missive and at the suggestion that my voice would be good in a sat-nav. I've certainly got a good face for radio, as the saying goes, but I wouldn't have thought that I had a good voice. Before I get started, I wanted to give a quick live music report on Wilco, who I saw in Glasgow last week. It was the first time seeing them for me. And being aware that Jeff Tweedy can be a bit prickly, I was unsure quite what to expect. It wasn't a great start, to be honest, as they took about four songs to get going. I did wonder, it felt almost like we was watching a rehearsal or a sound check. The energy was low and it just didn't really seem to be happening. But by the time they got to Handshake Drugs, the fifth song in, it all clicked together and they were very good from then on. The absolute highlight was Impossible Germany. It's a song that I really love from Sky Blue Sky. But Nils Klein, he was an amazing guitar player and he absolutely shredded on an extended guitar solo. The crowd just absolutely loved it. It was just really lifted everything and it was a real emotional high point of the show. I was also pleased to get Via Chicago and How to Fight Loneliness back to back from Summer Teeth. They played for well over 2 hours and Tweedy was pretty chatty and chilled out, especially in the second half of the show. I'd have loved to have got Passenger Side and The Lonely One as well, but overall, very good show. Anyway, back to matters in hand. After episode 690, I was put back in mind of Perfect Albums, which was further spurred by an article in The Guardian, an online version of the Guardian website that I saw posted, which ranked the greatest albums of the 21st century. It was a bit of a travesty of a list, to be honest. They decided they could do things like take multiple albums from one artist, so you got maybe 3 or 4 albums from some artists in the list, which I'm not sure if I necessarily agreed with that, or indeed a lot of their choices. Anyway, of course, what it did do was make me think what my list would be. So whilst I did fire up the old Excel spreadsheet, filter out my 21st century albums, but before I did that and constructed a final list, I did a quick mental run through just to pick out, you know, from recall what would be my, I would choose as my top three at least albums since 2000. And without too much thought, I would go in reverse order with Backspacer by Pearl Jam, which I rate only behind their second album Versus in their canon. Yeah, it was a real late period high point. High Violet by The National, which is just an utterly sublime album, and with Vandalol Crybaby Geeks, it closes with a perfect song. I still get goosebumps every time I hear that track. But my easy standout choice for as the best album of the 21st century so far, and therefore, hopefully by definition, you'd like to think a perfect album, is Saturnalia by the Gutter Twins. If anyone isn't familiar with it, it's a 2008 collaboration between Greg Dulli and Mark Lanegan. Now, I'm a huge Afghan Whigs fan, although I'm less of a Lanegan fan. I do like his work, but I absolutely love the Afghan Whigs, whereas Mark Lanegan, yeah, he's very good, but I don't have that same level of affinity that I do with the Afghan Whigs. And right from the outset, on the opening track, The Stations, with its descending guitar riff and unison voices, I was immediately captivated by this masterpiece of an album when I first heard it back in 2008. Highlights are The Opener, as well as God's Children, Idle Hands, and Who Will Lead Us. What I was also struck by, that this is an example of a perfect album from two artists who've also produced what I would consider perfect albums with other bands. In Greg Dulli's case, I would suggest that you could take any one of three from Gentleman, Black Love, and 1965. And in Mark Lanegan's case, I would argue that Screaming Trees Dust stands up with any album released in the 1990s. It's a half-forgotten masterpiece. Just listen to Dying Days or Look at You if you never have. It's amazingly good stuff. It's also quite funny to go back and hear Mark Lanegan's voice minus several hundred thousand Marlboros and possibly other substances as well compared to now. It's a pretty dark album. When you're relying on Greg Dulli to be the light-hearted one, you know you're in for something of a ride. Anyway, back on track with my new music picks for September. After Patrick chose Lightning Bolt for one of his choices from August, I'm also back on the hard-rocking heavy train. First up is Into the Storm by an Atlanta metal band called Cloak. Much like the aforementioned Lightning Bolt, this is a real pin-your-ears-back stuff, so buckle in, listeners. It opens with an epic pick slide, and if your pulse doesn't rise during this intro, you best get checked by the doctor. It's real fists-in-the-air, horns-up stuff. As Joe Fleischer would say, death to false metal. The whole song is quite long, but it really goes through some changes and is an epic metal track. I really enjoyed it, and it's just the thing to lift the spirits after another disappointing Brown's performance. But as I'm recording this on the 30th of September, it's just the day after they'd laid 40 points on the Ravens. So no need to commiserate, it's all celebration this Monday morning. But the great thing about music, a great song or an album, is unlike your sports team, it's always great. It doesn't stop becoming great over time. Patrick's still buzzing after Norwich City beat Man City, but even if Norwich are now hovering dangerously above the relegation zone. Anyway, putting sports to one side, my second pick is a stylistic U-turn from the first, with The Dream and The Dreamer by Jeremy Ivey. What I love about this is it has a real mix of Neil Young's After the Gold Rush, the song in particular, not the album as a whole, but that particular title track of that album. Also got quite a bit of a feel of the band's eponymous second album, and it has a similar timeless feel to it. He's perhaps better known as a sideman in Nashville up to this point, and also for being Mr. Margo Price, who I believe co-wrote this track and may contribute some backing vocals to it. Hope you all enjoy that as well. Next up is The Amputees by Tindersticks, a band I followed reasonably closely back in the 90s, and it's another stylistic shift. We're into widescreen orchestral indie rock this time. The Nick Cave influence is very strong here, as is the cinematic style for which they're known, and indeed the band have done quite a bit of soundtrack work, and you can really hear it in this song. Also more known for his soundtrack work recently is Faith No More frontman Mike Patton. He has a new album out called Corpse Flower. It's a collaboration with a French composer called Jean-Claude Vanier. And the entire album, and much like a lot of Mike Patton's work, is pretty idiosyncratic. And it's, to be honest, quite weird in places. But I can't deny that once I started listening to the album, it just captivated my attention, it held my attention, and I had to keep listening, partly just to see what on earth was coming next. And my pick from that would be On Top of the World. It gives you the full range of his voices. You get the high soulful falsetto, you get sort of Tom Waits style crooning, or early Tom Waits style crooning, right through to his rock and metal growl. It's different, but also very interesting, and like I said, it held my attention. I'll finish up with my last choice by highlighting Good To You, which is on an EP from a singer called Kate Teague. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's spelled T-E-A-G-U-E. It's got real Fleetwood Mac, or you know, 70s Lindsay and Stevie era, a Fleetwood Mac vibe to this from the start. It's got with a driving bass line and the floating vocal, and I really enjoyed that as well, and hope the listeners will too. Also, I just want to finish up by sending out a quick Rest in Power out for Neil Casal. Again, he's more known as a sideman in recent years, mainly with Ryan Adams, but I thought it'd be good to remember his own work. Anyone not familiar with him should definitely check out the Leaving Traces compilation, which covers most of his stuff. Maybe California and the Cortez the Killer influenced Free to Go are just really top-notch stuff. And listening to Free Light of Day now is in context of his passing is pretty tough. Free to Go indeed, and Rest in Power, Neil. Bit of a downbeat finish and a bit of a long one this month, so I'll sign off now and just say keep rocking the suburbs every day.
All right, thanks for those picks, Stephen.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Stephen. That covered a wide range of things, Jim. That was fantastic.
I think we should save his talk about the greatest album of the century. Let's save that for the end of the episode, right? Let's just go right into the picks for
Sounds
the new
good.
Music, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So we start with a metal band called Cloak.
Yep.
Do you know Cloak?
Only by association. I actually got to admit, I haven't heard much of their music, and I did not know they had new music out. So once again, tip of the cap to Steven.
Yeah, it looks like there's some singles out now from an
album. Forthcoming. Okay.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And this one is called Into the Storm. right.
Yeah, that was pretty intense.
That wake
man.
You up?
Yeah, definitely did. My pulse rose at the very beginning. You know, I was thinking about this, Jim. I know that there's a term for that when you slide all the way down the strings,
yeah.
right? But what about on the piano when somebody goes, what is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's
know
not
that
quite
sounds?
As cool, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it isn't. But I just made me think of that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you do that pick slide or
oh,
whatever?
All the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally, man. Okay. Yeah, that's one of my signature moves.
All right.
Yeah. I'll tell you, though, I think at this point, I love that. It sounded great. I'm definitely bookmarking that, and we'll be going back and checking out Cloak. We're almost at the point now we're almost in a second generation of Southern metal. You know, Atlanta has had a very good yeah. metal scene. There's been a lot of metal bands from the South. You know, typically you thought more of Southern rock and heavy records coming from there, but this is, you know, more of a straight up interesting kind of metal that was influenced by some speed metal and some Norwegian stuff, and it really came up with their own sound. And now we're kind of going on to a second generation in some ways, which is pretty exciting that the scene continues to evolve. So that really sounded nice.
It sounded really well put together. Like, it, you
yeah.
know, it wasn't just a bunch of flash
yeah,
in,
exactly.
that, in that song,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm. And I'll also say, you know, and we should talk about this at some point. I think it might be an interesting episode. I do think there's a whole generation of people that are going to be influenced by the way Steve Albini produced records, and whether or not that was, you know, Nirvana or the way he, but that really sounded like his drum sound to me. That was like
That's
really
cool.
hard hitting and powerful. I think his production, you know, is going to go on to influence people. I know we talked about PG Harvey at one point, but, yeah, that was great.
All right. Well, I think this one's a lot different.
Yeah, I think so.
Steven's next
always
was
eclectic.
Jeremy Ivey.
Yeah. Talked about him
in a
the other
episode
day,
that
like.
May
yeah.
be coming up.
That's right.
So the song is The Dream and the Dreamer, right?
Yep.
The dream and the dreamer, they fought like hell. They lived together in an old hotel. The dreamer wanted love.
Nice.
That's something, man.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That'll make you take notice, I think. Yeah.
Strip the paint off your wagon.
I need to hear that some more. I mean, that's not
totally.
Really fair to just kind of hear that and react to it, but
no.
Just sonically, I will say I do like that kind of that sort of reverberating piano.
Totally. Yeah.
Sound?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I definitely hear a little bit of that late night Uzi, like codeine, Big Star Third
yeah.
vibe in that too, which is immediately attractive to me.
Yeah, it's cool. All right. Very nice. I'm going to have to listen to that record. That's
on the list.
That album is called The Dream and the Dreamer, and
mm-hmm.
it just came out September 13th. So
right.
I have not listened to it. All right. I will do so. Let's see. Next up was Tindersticks.
Yes.
tickling at our feet. No more to suffer at the dull set of eyes. Once our heels they clack in the street. I miss you so bad. I miss you so bad. We are the stigmatized. Set aside our love and our hate, smooth and shine. No more extremity, no more possibility. Like forgotten skittles, we wait for our stride. I miss you so bad.
So speaking of sort of late night jamming,
yeah,
right? Doesn't that
sure.
sound like something you'd hear late night at a lounge or something like
yeah,
that, right?
It really does. Yeah, a late night TV theme.
Love
or
that
something.
Constant sort of cymbal action going on there. That
was great.
That ride cymbal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also heard one of those things we were talking about where you hit it and it goes.
I found out it's called a vibraslap.
Vibraslap.
I am not making
Bam!
That up.
There it is. All right.
The listeners told us
oh, sweet.
What it's called.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks. I heard a little vibraslap there.
Yeah.
I got to say, Jim, I haven't thought about the Tinder Sticks in 20 years, probably at least. I don't know if you followed them in the 90s, but as that started, as you saw, I was standing up trying to scan some of my cassettes, but it was kind of hopeless because I remember at one point a good friend of mine, Anthony Childs, I know who occasionally listens to the podcast, shout out to Anthony, he made me a tape of Tinder Sticks, and I remember it was really confusing because both their first two albums are just called Tinder Sticks, and
oh, okay.
and the tape was also called Tinder Sticks, and it was sometime in the mid-90s I had it, and I listened to it a lot in that sort of downbeat, sort of low register singing that you have there from, gosh, hold on one sec, Stuart Staples, the lead singer. You know, it's always very striking, and I can totally see, as Stephen was saying, that they went into soundtrack work. I didn't know they did that, but they're always very atmospheric, always very moody, always evoked like a cloudy, rainy day, and they're
yeah.
kind of the thing you would listen to on like a great rainy day band.
It's so, good bourbon drinking music.
There you go. That's another one, yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of the 90s, this one threw me. Mike Patton. I guess I haven't really been following his career that much to know that he's been doing like soundtrack work and stuff, right?
Totally not following his career at all, yeah. I only know if maybe what song.
This is a collaboration, and this song is called On Top of the World. On that one.
Well, at least he has a plan. Let's just put it that way. When he got to the top of the world, what was going to happen? There's so many original TV shows, original cable, original streaming things being made now, it seems like there's a greater need than ever for sort of soundtrack music and things like that.
That's so true, for sure.
Yeah, and you definitely could feel that, you know, being designed for something like that, you know, to maybe whatever the show might be. But that was really kind of interesting. I liked the lyrics there, and definitely had a plan.
All right.
I care a lot about that. So. Thank you.
All right, you're done.
Thank you.
Kate Teague. I don't know Kate Teague.
I do not, but I was just doing a little prowling. I'm really interested to hear this.
Okay, this song is called Good to You. Delightful.
Yeah, it was really nice. I really liked that guitar figure that kind of felt like a hiccup where it was going like ka-chink, ka-chink, and then it was kind of doing that little riff. That was really nice. Yeah, really nice accompaniment.
Whenever I hear songs like this, and there are many of them that exist today that are just, you know, sort of well-crafted, you know, pop songs that with strong melodies and nice groove to it and everything, I like to believe that there's like an alternate universe where there's a guy like Casey Kasem who's like counting down a top 40 of stuff like this, you know?
That because makes me happy.
You sort of feel like that audience has dried up for this kind of music.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. It's like, on a large level.
30, 40 years ago, this might have been a big hit song,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. And it was lovely the way the chorus kind of blended so seamlessly into that. It really was well done. You know, the craftsmanship is outstanding.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was great. Nice picks there.
Thank you, Stephen.
We were going to wrap this up with Stephen's pick for the greatest album of the century. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
The century so far?
The century so far. So that gives us, what, 20 years?
Something like that, yeah. Gutter Twins.
Mm-hmm. Gutter Twins.
Do you have this record?
I don't.
Do you know about this? Because
I do. Yeah.
I don't really.
I sort of remember when it kind of came out and it got some really positive reviews. I got to say, I kind of stand with the way Stephen laid things out there. Big fan of the Afghan Whigs.
Yes, as am I.
And I think, you know, Greg Dooley is very, very talented, original composer, singer, and kind of a neat outlook. Never liked Mark Lanegan's, well, he didn't say that. He thought Mark Lanegan was decent, and that's kind of how I feel about his solo work. I really like Screaming Trees, though. I mean, those early Screaming Trees records are really underrated.
The early ones are really crazy.
Fantastic.
Those SST ones, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Even If and Especially When is an album that people should get, and also there's a bunch. All the SST ones are really, really good. I was lucky enough to see them play Jim back at the original 930 Club back in the early days, and they all, you know, looked like these guys that had been living up in the woods somewhere in the Northwest and just kind of came out with this long hair. They were all big, giant guys. Right. It was really cool.
They were so different from the Southern California guys on that label.
Totally,
right?
Yeah. Like, how did this band get on this label? You should be on Sub Pop or some different label than that. Yeah, but I've got to go back based on that recommendation and listen to all those things that Stephen mentioned because it kind of gave us a top three there. But
well, in 2008, Greg Dooley and Mark Lanegan put out a collaboration called, the group was called the Gutter Twins.
Yep.
Apparently this is the only album they did.
Saturnalia.
Called Saturnalia. Mm-hmm. And there were several songs he really liked. So why don't we play out one of the songs from that album?
It'd be great.
The song is called Idle Hands.
Okay.
And again, if anyone wants to turn us on to new music or talk about your favorite album of the 21st century, or really just the past decade,
since
we're closing out a decade here, that would be cool.
That'd be cool.
We're going to come up on pretty soon here where we're going to ask people for their favorite album or song of the last year.
That's
you know, I would say if you're going to do the last decade, maybe do like a top 10 list or something like that.
10, because a kinda decade is 10 one. Years. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
So start thinking of that, people.
Yeah, for sure.
But in the meantime, if you want to turn us on to new music, call
612-440-1984
or email rock@suburbspod.com.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that Steven does is he records his voice on like a voice memo and attaches that to an email. So that's how he gets that nice sound.
Greatly appreciate.
But you could do the phone call too. That's fine.
Oh, that works.
Or Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. Mm-hmm. Here are the Gutter Twins with Idle Hands. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Maybe it's 4 a.m. at Arden Studios and you and Jim Dickinson have been messing around for a long time.